to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. I'm pleased to say, joined once again by Michael Smith. He is these days the principal and COO of Cronus Advisory, LLC. But he has been contributing mightily, both in the media and behind the scenes, to the understanding in Congress and elsewhere about the nature of the threats we're facing these days, particularly in the information technology space. He is always welcome here. Michael, thanks for coming back. Good to talk with you.
Hi, Frank. It's good to be with you and your listeners.
You've been doing a lot of work, Mike, in the field of information technology as it relates to the use being made of it by the Islamic State and I think other sort of Islamic supremacists. But specifically, the extraordinary degree to which Twitter is now enabling the propagandizing and other communications of some of the world's most dangerous jihadists. Talk a bit about what Twitter is doing and whether they know that they're doing what they're doing with respect to these guys.
Sure. To put a little context on it, online, the Islamic State is managing the most aggressive and, as far as the casework here in the United States demonstrates, effective recruitment coup incitement program of any terrorist group in history. It is engaging in a much more interactive recruitment program than Al-Qaeda has ever dreamed of doing through the internet. And Twitter has become the crucial tool in all of that. Twitter has basically in the past 2 years become a cyber sanctuary for the Islamic State, from which it is not only calling for people to immigrate to the so-called caliphate to help the group defend and expand its territorial holdings. But if they cannot do that, which increasingly they cannot due to the barriers that are being put up to prevent that from happening, the other directive being issued by al-Baghdadi and his followers and the propagandists, and for which Twitter has become a veritable echo chamber, is to wage jihad at home. And Twitter has become the centerpiece in all of that activity. And what has become absolutely striking is that whereas Twitter was providing varying degrees of access, unique access to all of that content for the intelligence community, which amounts to just a vast amount of data that's used to develop a richer understanding of the Islamic State, its members, its potential growth, where it is going about orienting the focus of its recruitment activities, particularly here in the West. Twitter has cut all of that off all of a sudden in recent weeks. And I had a meeting with a sales rep to the federal government from Dataminr last week. And Dataminr is a company that basically the intelligence community via CIA's venture capital arm, InQtel, made a significant investment in to develop capabilities to analyze and sift through what's called the fire hose, which is all of the content on Twitter, for which Dataminr has exclusive access to all of it. Other companies can go and buy pieces of that content, buy packages of data that have been produced with certain terms that are used to come up with that information, but Dataminr has access to all of it. They have gone to Dataminr and they've gone to all the other companies that are just purchasing slices of the firehose data sets and sharing that information with the intelligence community and said, you can no longer do that. We do not want to be involved in assisting the intelligence community with counterterrorism activity and just basic intelligence work. And it is absolutely perhaps the most striking example of corporate irresponsibility that I can think of this century.
Amazing. Let me just make sure I understand this and that our listeners do. Mike, and again, our guest is Michael Smith of Cronus Advisory. You're saying that Twitter is not only a cyber sanctuary for the Islamic State to operate in, and again, other jihadis as well, but most especially, most aggressively, the most dangerous of these outfits at the moment, and that to the extent that they're using Twitter's facilities, platform, if you will, that the Twitter folks are now telling an entity that they own part of that they may not help data mine that information for the purposes of trying to prevent attacks by the Islamic State in places like the United States. Have I got that right?
You've got that right. And as explained to me by, you know, the representative data miner who deals directly with the federal government in, you know, selling access to the service that they offer. And this is according to him, of course, that Twitter views greater growth opportunities overseas than here within the United States. And it is concerned about the optics that come into play with having a relationship of any kind with the United States government, particularly the United States intelligence community. It is concerned that that will negatively impact interest among potential advertisers overseas or just users in general would have concerns about, you know, their content being utilized to support intelligence activities in the West.
Mike, you were quoted in a Newsweek article, I believe, last week, in which they were talking about, among other things, that the Islamic State is now putting out hit lists, I guess through Twitter and other social networking platforms. Give us a flavor of how serious a threat this represents when combined with what are, I think, wrongly described as lone wolves, or individual jihadists, if you will, who are perhaps prepared to act on these instructions.
To, again, provide some context, in September 2014, the Islamic State spokesman, who also doubles as the external operations portfolio manager, Abu Muhammad al-Adnani, released a statement in which he called upon individuals in America and Europe and elsewhere to go out and kill military officials, intelligence officials, police officers, and just random Americans. So what you started to see was in 2015 under Junaid Hussein's leadership and eventually with assistance from Ardit Farizi, who has been charged with facilitating a massive hit list for the Islamic State. You started to see content flowing out on Twitter, and eventually as Telegram Messenger created its channels feature, and you saw a lot of these Islamic State members and propagandists migrate to utilizing those channel features, you saw a lot of those hit lists or links to them starting to show up on those channels. On Twitter, back to that, they have put out the home address for America's top intelligence official, DNI Clapper. They have put out the home address with a photograph of his home for CIA Director Brennan. They have put out home addresses posted in individual tweets repeatedly for a variety of senior, current and former officials from military, intelligence, law enforcement, and diplomatic communities. And we've even seen Hillary Clinton's address show up in Telegram Messenger. When our friend Mike Flynn, former DIA director's address showed up on Twitter, I got in touch with Mike immediately last year and asked, hey, are you still living at this address? And he said, no, thank God, I moved several months ago. But the fact is that they have good information. They're putting it out there, and they're issuing directives now for people to go out and target civilians. They have obviously, as has been variously reported, put out a hit list containing the names and addresses and various contact details, such as email accounts and phone numbers, for more than 3,500 people who reside in New York and Brooklyn. And I saw that list, I captured that list, and I was contacted by somebody at one of the top three largest newspapers in the United States several days thereafter, who comes to me for background on Islamic State-related issues and asked, you know, have you seen this list? Because one of my colleagues at the newspaper was contacted by the FBI, and she was concerned about how real this is. And I said, well, you know, what is your colleague's name? And I pulled up the list, and sure enough, the colleague's name was on the list. So this has become a very sizable problem. This can kind of accelerate the will to act when you're doing something sort of abstract, like saying, oh, go out and kill people. That's one thing. But when you're actually providing a target list, that provides an incentive that creates a different paradigm.
And when some of those targets may be close at hand and you don't have to schlep to Syria or run the risk of being arrested and trying to do so, you can do a little jihad right here. Keep up the good work at Kronos Advisory, Mike, and come back to us again if you would soon. I hope the rest of you will come back again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.